Welcome to East Meets West, episode 128. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm just recently arrived from the airport, Roger Chang.
We are in a new recording location.
Yes, I see you've decked out your studio with a number of enhanced audio absorption technologies.
Yeah, that's why it sounds kind of echoey. No, Eileen's watching a movie in the main room where we usually...
In other words, your
she's
wife...
She's usually in here editing in the office where
your
we
wife
are.
Kicked us out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Our usual spot.
Pretty much.
All right.
That's in a nutshell.
Did you watch The Dark Knight?
I have not seen The Dark Knight yet.
Can't talk about that.
Because I wanted to see... I want to see the IMAX version. And it keeps selling out.
Why must you watch the IMAX version?
Oh, must I? You know, it was just this weekend. We kind of wanted to see the IMAX version. It kept selling out.
Because Christian Bale's head at three stories high is what you need.
I don't need it three stories high.
Isn't that the supposed the height of the IMAX screen?
Yeah.
Three stories high.
Well, okay. I don't need it three stories high. It'd be kind of cool though. Sure. Speaking of cool stuff, though, you spent the weekend at Comic-Con.
Yes,
down
I
in
did.
San Diego.
It was fun. It was kind of it was very frustrating. This year was unbelievably crowded, and I don't mean like Comic-Con in the years previous, but just I mean everything. Like
it was even more. It's the most crowded you've seen it.
Yes,
I guess,
like going to like one of the big name panels normally takes you get there an hour and a half early. You can get in and you can get like some of the front.
You only have to get there an hour and a half
to
early
get
in. Yeah.
To get to the front to get like choice seating at the front.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Now, but you could show up like right when it starts and get in sitting in the back. No, you got to be there an hour and a half in order to get in.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, there was big panels on Battlestar Galactica, on Joss Whedon did two. He did one for Dr. Horrible.
How was that? Because I have watched all three acts. So you didn't get it. You didn't even
get
into
understand.
That.
It went out the length of the San Diego, the width of the or depth of the San Diego convention. Went outside to the patio and doubled back twice.
Wow. Did you get to the other Joss Whedon panel?
Yes, I went to the Dollhouse one. This is a new series starring Elijah, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name, Faith and from the Buffy series.
Okay.
She is essentially what do they call it? The euphemistic term is she's a doll in that she voluntarily goes through the process, not unlike the story of Something of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Where they voluntarily go through a process where parts of their, what they think are parts of bad memories are removed so they don't feel that pain, anguish, and all that.
Right, and then he starts to get little flashbacks because he meets his ex or something.
It doesn't go that far, but the wiping of the memories. And then the kind of catch 22 is then they fill your head with memories that they want you to have in order to function for whatever service they had or want you to do. For example, if they want you to be an escort or
she's called a doll?
Exactly.
Because she can have her head filled with anything?
Yeah, and essentially they're like, you know...
You dress her up in different...
Exactly. So
mentalities.
Anything you want. So they can be a lover, they can be like a teacher, they can be a spy, an assassin.
A father,
whatever the customer,
a friend.
Whatever the customer slash client wants done.
Oh, and then they wipe her out again
at
the end of the...
This is the hook. In that every time episode, she's going to be a different personality.
Okay, but what keeps us interested in her beside that? Is there some
thread?
Well,
she's not the only one. There's four or five other people. And then, you know, Hilo from BSG,
yeah.
The actor, he is in it as a detective who's on the trail of the dollhouse and trying to uncover
and there
expose
we go. That's
it.
What I was looking
but
for.
But the thing is, they're constantly on the move. You
right.
know what I mean?
So that's the thread throughout the episodes is whether they will get caught or not.
Well, no, the thing is, like, he will repeatedly meet Elijah. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right.
Elijah. You could just say Elijah.
Elijah, whatever. Any case, but she's always a different personality.
Uh-huh.
You know,
so he's never certain it's her?
Or what are you going to say? How can you prove it?
But
right?
he can't talk to her and say, remember me? And
exactly.
She'll be like, no, I don't remember you.
Exactly. Now, once they get...
So it's illegal to do that.
Well,
to do the dollhouse.
Well, that's the thing. It's a gray area. I mean, the company says these people do it voluntarily. Mm. They signed away. They wanted this done.
And then there'll probably be some... Yeah, there's a good ethical dilemma there.
And then... You know, then all the dolls themselves will interact with each other, but only in short flashes because, you know, in between their jobs, you know, when they're being someone else.
Yeah.
you know, and then have the race. So it'll be interesting because Joss Whedon specifically said that it's all about how, you know, identity, you know, the quest for identity, like what is your true identity and all that. So
yeah, so what is going to continue to be a characteristic of a doll, no matter what personality?
Yeah. I mean, other than the physical.
Yeah, you know, right.
So it'll be interesting.
It seems very J.J. Abrams-ish, actually. With the whole alias and
but with less of the I think less of the cheese factor that J.J. Abrams was bringing. I mean, I shouldn't say cheese, but kind of the
Cheese is the wrong word, but I think I know what you're talking about. You know how that, like that's a sort of like over the top predictability,
kind of like the way, you know, James Bond was
with Alias. Anyway, I don't think he's run into that with Lost so much.
But you know,
he's not
the
really
polar
involved.
Bear.
He just created Lost.
The bear.
What's wrong with the polar bear?
I don't know. I haven't watched Lost.
Well, you see, yeah, the polar bear actually makes sense.
Whatever.
It actually makes it's a lot more over the top in the primary episode than it is later.
Okay.
Later, when you realize it, it's like actually they made too big of a deal of it.
BSG panel is good. They had
Battlestar Galactica. For those who don't know the acronym.
So they had Katie Sackhoff. They had the actress
whom
that played
you
Six.
Think is very hot.
Yes,
I saw your Twitter.
This was there, which, you know, strangely enough, I don't think is as hot. But
as Katie Sackhoff?
I don't know. Something about Katie, right. Probably because the way she plays a Starbuck. And you had Apollo, Baltar. They've been put the cast minus, you know, Adama, President Roslin, and Gaeta and all that. So, but you know, it was interesting because they. You know, they didn't try. They were really tried really hard not to reveal anything. You know,
are all the episodes shot at this point?
They're all shot. I think it's in edit right now.
Okay.
The way they described it's all the shooting has been done.
Principal photography is.
So they're pretty much all free, but they can't talk about it. And I guess it's in edit. So there's a lot of footage they have to go through and piece together in order to create the final episodes. So, but people were asked. You know, one person asked. You know, from the floor, like, can you reveal? Give us a hint about the final Cylon. And all the audience like, no. So,
and of course they weren't going to. Lost had a panel.
Yeah, see,
I haven't listened to it yet, though. They always release it on podcasts, so I'm eagerly awaiting that.
Watch went to the Watchmen panel. I think Watchmen.
Wearing your Watchmen shirt right now.
It could be awesome. I mean, I'm still on the fence.
I watched the trailer yesterday.
It has the
actually.
Feel and the look.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Still remains to be seen if the actual story plays
What is
up.
The Watchmen? It's a graphic novel, right?
Well, it was actually a maxi series back in the 80s. Covering 12 issues, and it was collected into a trade. And essentially the story is kind of taking the superhero concept beyond the standard good versus evil. You know, at what point when, you know, being a superhero, you know, just because it's, you know, the ends justify the means, is that, you know, is that the right way to go?
Seems like treating superheroes and villains more like cops and criminals, where you can have cops that are criminals and you can have criminals who do good.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well, and the thing is, there's criminals in the super criminal sense really don't manifest themselves in the series so much as it is an authority. Like, you know, I don't know. You've read Watchmen.
No, I haven't.
There's an aspect of it because it's supposed to take place along the same timeline as American history, like Nixon, Vietnam War, where you know the police go on strike and the government essentially deputizes superheroes to act as law enforcement during that meantime.
They're scabs.
Yeah, in a way. So I mean, there's many aspects
crossing
to
a
it.
Pick a lot.
You know,
yeah.
At what point does your duty to the country, to authority, you know? Who's really right? So, I mean, it brought up a lot of interesting questions that, you know, for that time were considered to be a very cutting edge.
So that's it. Watchmen, Battlestar Galactica, Joss Whedon.
Those
are the panels
you
got to.
And then went to the Masquerade, laughed at those, enjoyed those people. And then I walked around the exhibitor hall.
The exhibit floor.
I managed to crash over with October Toys for a couple hours, talking to them. They're really cool. Check them out, octobertoys.com. I had to plug because they're really cool.
All right.
Had lunch.
Fair enough. Do they buy you lunch?
No, we just had lunch.
Okay, so you're plugging free and clear. You didn't get any consideration. No sandwiches were exchanged.
No.
All right.
They gave me a couple of samples of their new line, but, you know, it's a little
giveaways. Little
check them out.
All right.
And you know, I saw maybe one or two other people. I hung out with Joe
from the
what do you call them?
The blog.
The blog. Is
comments
it blog?
On the
comments.
Listener to the podcast, perhaps.
Yes, it was fun. And then I ran into a bunch of other people. Ran into the guys over at IO9 Thursday night. So we had dinner with them.
Sci-fi blog.
Went to the Boom party. I went over to the IDW party, and that all those after comic comic.
What's
book
IDW?
It's a comic book publishing, like Dark Horse or Marvel or DC.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those comic parties were kind of just essentially like it felt like a nightclub because there were people in there that I don't think were interested.
They were just there for the party.
Exactly. Mm. And G4 had a party. I got into that one. They had
oh, they let you in?
Yeah. They don't know who I am, so it's good. they had MC Frontalot and all that. But, again, it felt like
felt like a party had, party. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So it wasn't fun for me anyway. I tried to get into the after what they call the Wrath of Khan party,
ooh,
which is the rap party at Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you know, it's all A-list, well, I guess A-list celebrities for Comic-Con.
Wow.
So I didn't get in.
You're not an A-list?
I'm not.
Do you know who I am? I'm Roger Chang.
Well, I RSVP'd,
I've been using
but I'm not
all
a,
week, and I
I'm
can't
not
stop
a,
using
I'm not
it.
A high-profile kind of guy.
You have a Google search. You have a Wikipedia page.
I'm not high-pro. I guess
you have
gotta,
to show your Wikipedia page.
You have to
page
be part of Variety or something. I mean, even our mutual friend slash coworker, Michelle Von Wan, could only do the red carpet.
You're I-list. Internet famous.
I don't know. But my gripe still stands. I think it was too crowded. And it's just, I think Comic-Con either is either filling up with too much stuff and not in the good way. I think Comic-Con now is essentially one of those showcases for a lot of the studios.
Oh, okay.
Because NBC, CBS, ABC, ABC Family, MTV, they all, or not, I shouldn't say MTV, Sci-Fi
Network
have their, you know, have a big presence there, so they're flogging their new movie. They're even flogging shows that may or may not have something to do with any kind of that pop cult. Well, they're pop culture, but they're not like sci-fi fantasy.
They're sort of on the fringe of the geek culture, maybe.
Geek as in your loyal viewer, kind okay. of like, you know, mm-hmm. in the same way that Twin Peaks would be, I guess, considered.
Yeah, I could see Twin Peaks fitting that mold, sort of fantasy-ish, but not really sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, I saw La Carmen Electra.
There were comics based on Twin Peaks, were there not?
I don't know.
I believe there were.
Dr. Horrible, the actress that plays the girlfriend.
Felicia Day?
She ran into her in the floor.
What'd she have to say?
Nothing. She was talking to a bunch of people and trying to get... And they were trying to
you
get
ran into her physically, you mean?
Yeah.
You knocked, no, bumped
I,
her.
Well, it's like, whoa! You know, I was walking and there's a bunch of people in front of me. It's like, okay. Whoa! It's, you know,
Felicia Day.
And I was trying to get a picture of her like a dork. Didn't get one because like these women wouldn't get out of my freaking way.
Any
chatter,
other
chatter.
East meets Westers run into?
I met a couple of guys, but I think they only knew me from Texilla, DLTV,
mm-hmm.
Tech TV.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
I didn't see SoCal Jess, or maybe she saw me, but
big show floor. Big show floor.
Huge.
Yeah.
And with all those people, really hard to see.
Kind of like going to a major university, and then somebody saying like, oh, you went to the university, you went to Ohio State University, one of the largest universities in the country. Do you know Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in many ways, it's kind of a pop culture version of CES.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Although it's not as annoying. I mean, CES is an entire order of annoying.
Well, CES is about business.
It is,
it's
but...
It's all, you know, and so, not that Comic-Con doesn't have a whole lot of business, sounds like,
yep.
But that was not the original intention of it. Whereas the original intention of CES, it's a trade show.
Well, so. It's not even that. It's for me, what gets me about CES is just the crowds of people, the traffic that doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to go to some place and it's always filled, booked.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so much, you know, you kind of want to just pare it down.
Let's get to some comments then.
Woohoo!
CP Orpheus says, I think you guys got it right. Anarchy won't work as a good tool because I think people want and need organization. Oh, so you're a fascist. Just kidding.
No, he's an authoritarian.
He says, speaking of loaded words, which I just used, do you guys think that language is too limited sometimes? I frequently get stuck trying to describe a place or a movie or whatever. Personally, I think we need telepathic communication.
It's kind of hard to say because there's so many ways that you can use to describe. I mean, you know, many a multitude of things, and often when you start parsing out words into form a conglomerate, like, you know, I'm a socialist democrat, you know,
language is, yeah, language is inexact, and it can be even more inexact when you are mixing backgrounds.
Yeah.
People, I know, I've noticed this coming from a small town. People who are from a small town, grow up in the small town, never really leave the small town permanently.
Why you keep looking at me?
Because I'm talking to you.
I thought you were talking to the audience.
The, jeez, man, you got Paul Paranoid. I just glanced at you.
Stop looking at me.
You've been around crowds too much. No, people from a small town who stayed in that small town have an easier time talking to each other than people who are in a large city who come from different areas.
You know why,
and
right?
And I don't mean that's a hard time talking. I mean, you can get, but there are so many assumed things when you all have the same background. Like,
yeah,
you know Pocahontas, yep, Illinois, and what that town is like, and you but know what the Powhatan restaurant is, and you know what the Funderburk family is. And so all you have to do is like say, yeah, it's like the Powhatan, and everybody's laughing. Whereas if you said that here, no one, like the Powhatan, and then you'd have to explain,
well,
wow, that's a restaurant.
I think you touched on a very important point, is that everyone understands, or at least it is understood that everyone has the same reference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is, you know, depending on where you're at, you know, that frame of reference could vary widely. So oftentimes what people consider, you know, miscommunications or cultural cues that are misinterpreted by the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because every word is packaged full of meaning, more than just the literal meaning of that
even
word.
Even the delivery.
Yeah.
Right? If you say, you know, like, hey, you look like an idiot. You know, someone does that.
I don't know how many times I've written a script and had a producer go, this line doesn't make any sense. And then I read it, and they're like, oh, I get it now. And it's all in the inflection of the read.
Yep.
It's, you know, which means it's probably not a very well-written sentence, honestly, or
knowing
you should
you
be able to get
not
it off the page. Thanks. But you can make something make sense with the read of it.
True.
But on the other hand, that doesn't mean that you can't communicate without any kind of shared assumptions. I mean, there is a certain amount of shared humanity that, you know, if you go to a foreign country with people that you don't have very many experiences in common with, you can still make yourself understood. Even if you don't even speak the same language, you can make yourself understood. So it is kind of show the flexibility of language, even though it's inexact.
Well, I mean, you know, what is the replacement for language? I mean, even telepathy would be a language.
A language, right,
you know,
exactly.
How you relate to that particular person's emotions to seeing something may or may not jive with you.
Clyde Stevens says, Tom and yes, even Roger, have great ideas and are very entertaining. I like all of Tom's podcast and vidcast. I think it's great when Roger is on Techzilla. He is by far the best sidekick. Here's the problem.
Sidekick.
Poor audio quality seems to follow Tom Merritt around the web sporadically to afflict all of his shows at one time or another. Like the time he did half of a CNET vidcast completely unmiked. We could hear him through Brian's microphone only. So let's please put up a donate button so that we could start a fund to get Tom an audio engineer.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. It will follow you around your entire life. To get levels, dude. And you're like at a dinner.
Yeah, you know, I think that's just, I don't know, maybe you're noticing a pattern that might not be there. Definitely, we all have had audio problems. You've had audio problems, right?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that happens. The audio problems on this podcast, when we aren't recording at CNET, are entirely my fault.
Yeah,
that has nothing to do with poor equipment. That's probably more laziness than anything.
Let's just say we like to keep it au naturel.
There you go.
And the other thing is that Tom is on talking a lot, whereas I'm usually in the background. So for me, it's not as noticeable because you don't constantly hear my voice.
More opportunities for me to get messed with.
Exactly.
Or mess up. Miss M says, if only all humans were humanist, then anarchy might work.
Maybe.
But the inherent self-interest of us humans, I enjoyed both Roger's and Tom's comments. Tom's audio did fade a bit in parts of it. Regarding telepathic communication, hell no. I like to keep my thoughts to myself most of the time. And then he says, or she says, Roger rocked on Techzilla and Creaky
Geeks.
Thank
you. Miss M. Sounds mysterious.
Yeah, Miss M's a big plurker.
Plurker.
Yeah.
You would know, Roger, if you plurked. I see the look in your eye.
Matthew says, there's no look in my eye. What is that about?
Why you always keep turning toward me?
To talk to you. I know. I should be looking the other way. Matthew says, a point on the people all speaking English is explained in Star Trek by the use of the universal translator that everyone in the Starfleet Federation is supposed to have, and so the aliens all speak the same language.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it's honestly.
And the TARDIS translates.
Honestly, in the end, it's really just a Roddenberry device to kind of.
Actually, Tim ACX says the TARDIS translates for the people in Doctor Who. I believe that Christopher Eccleston even mentions this at one point in the Christmas special when we first see David Tennant. Rose is unable to understand the Sycorax until the Doctor finishes regenerating. There was also the episode where the Doctor and Rose landed on the research base that was orbiting the black hole. In that episode, the language was too old for the TARDIS to translate.
No, I understand it translated. It just It seems a little way too convenient.
Kumar would like us to stop crashing his iPod Nano. Okay. Sorry about that. Don't know why that would happen.
Maybe he's driving while he's listening.
I don't know. Wawert says, it's exceedingly hard to get access to your old podcasts. On a whim, I decided to listen to East Meets West Episode 1 to see what had changed. Oh, boy. So I type into the search box 01. I get results for nothing. Gets me Episode 109, 108, nothing else. It took a Google search to find Episode 1 on another blog, no less. Same domain name, though. I added that. He says, please help us listeners who wish to listen to some of the older material get access to it. On a slightly less complaining note, how about Rich Harden? Gets traded to the Cubs and is blowing the NL into pieces. As long as his arm holds up, Wawert. As long as his arm holds up. What about that? So we started publishing East Meets West on subbrilliant.com/blog. And then at a certain point, we decided to create its own blog at subbrilliant.com/EMW. I didn't really feel like it was necessary. We put a link on the East Meets West blog to the subbrilliant.com/blog if you go far enough back in the archives.
And but can't you get everything through archive.org anyway?
Because I've seen the older. Yeah, every episode is hosted on archive.org.
So, I mean, if...
But I know what he's saying. Yeah. Like, we don't have a nice, easy way to find every single episode, but maybe we don't really want you to listen to the old episode.
I mean, as Jason can tell you.
We're not preventing you from listening, but maybe you need to. It's like trials, you know. You need to prove your worthiness to be able to listen to the crappy.
What a reward there.
Anyway, I understand your point, Walbert, but I guess we just don't feel it's such a great benefit
to humanity.
I don't know. Maybe we should. Joe says, Roger and Tom, hey guys, lovely show. This is the Joe you saw at Comic Con.
Yes.
Don't forget about me. I'm going to Comic Con. Well, there you see, Roger didn't forget. I haven't commented in a while, but I've been listening. You're from the Midwest originally, aren't you, Tom? Yes, I am. I personally think the Midwest has some great advantages, but there are disadvantages, too, and I just wanted your insight. Tom, random comment, I know, but it popped into my mind, and I thought I'd ask. She says, I'm considering a move, but I'm wondering if I'd miss life out here too much. I don't know. I thought about this a lot, actually, after she posted this. I miss people in the Midwest.
No, those
like
people
specific
you grew,
people
yeah. you grew up with.
Not the people so much, although kind of. But yeah, more specific people that I keep in touch. Not all of them are even in the Midwest. They've moved around too. I miss seasons somewhat. You don't have seasons out here in San Francisco. It's kind of like it's cold today in July. It feels like fall. So I kind of miss that, but then I kind of don't, because I don't miss shoveling snow one little bit.
I can honestly admit I enjoy the fact that you need to drive to get to the snow.
Yeah.
Instead of the snow coming
to you. And you can drive to get to the snow. And in Illinois, the snow comes and then it goes, and you can't drive to get to it if it's not there. You are at the whim of the seasons. Yeah, and plus I grew up in a small town outside of St. Louis, so some of the things, you know, lack of traffic, easy to get to restaurants, the lack of crowds and stuff, I miss that. But that's kind of true of any small town anywhere. That's
I can
not
put
specific.
You up in Humboldt County.
Yeah, it's not specific to the Midwest. So,
Truckee. Everyone likes Truckee for some reason.
I have corn. You cannot get good corn in California.
Like an ear of corn?
Yeah, like a good, fresh, succulent ear of corn. Mm, yeah, nothing beats the Midwestern corn.
Okay.
You're giving me that look of disbelief.
No, I'm just because
a non-comprehension.
Well, there's corn's grown in this state.
Yeah,
that's why.
It's like an orange grown in Texas. It's an orange, but it's not a very good orange. Hmm. The corn grown in California, it's corn. It'll do. It's not great corn. It's like wine grown in Missouri, too. I mean, certain regions are...
Joe was telling me there are wine vineyards out in Illinois. I never realized that.
Yeah, it's not that good. I mean...
I don't drink, so there
are,
know.
Well, I'm just saying, certain regions are better at growing...
I'll say this.
Certain things.
Having been in... grown up and lived in California for pretty much my entire life. One thing I've noticed is when I leave the state is that it's really hard to find the produce that I'm accustomed to finding in a supermarket or a market in California, say like, you know, somewhere in the South or somewhere back East.
I'll tell you what, in that vein, I miss Texas more than I miss Illinois.
What did Texas offer?
Well, great Mexican food. And not that you don't have good Mexican food in California, you do, but it's a little different. And finding green chilies...
You know what?
You can do it, especially canned green chilies, not a problem, but fresh green chilies, you got to look. You
San Diego
search.
Has really good, of course, being.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. So I bet San
and
Diego
then there's
would.
Portions of California, like in out in the Central Valley, because of there's a huge, you know, Mexican population to work with. A lot of that stuff is
salsa. The jarred salsa here. Very California has a different kind of salsa. It's not my thing. It's good, but it's not my thing. I love Texas salsa.
You miss the bagels.
The bagels in Texas.
Bagels.
Actually, I miss the. You know what I miss are the Chipotle cream cheese at Wheatsville Co-op in Austin.
Chipotle cream cheese.
Yeah, good stuff. And the tempeh tacos there, too.
Hmm.
Tasty, tasty, tasty.
Sounds
and migas.
Good.
You cannot get migas. There's one place in Oakland that has migas.
Describe
and
migas.
It's okay. You know Huevos Rancheros?
Yes.
Okay, scramble the eggs, mix it all up. That's kind of migas. It's got tortilla strips and...
Okay, know. I have had those.
Yeah, yeah. Migas.
You need to spend awesome. More time on, like... Driving with Patrick.
Breakfast tacos. You can't find breakfast tacos.
You have to
tacos.
Really drive. With you know why? Because I know because I was stuck in a van with a man for 11 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like in the middle of nowhere, and we pull into this Greek restaurant run by...
I tell you, I do miss Mario's Pizza in Greenville, Illinois.
Ooh,
good pizza. Good, good, good pizza. Best if you're ever driving along Interstate 70 and you're hungry and you're near Exit 45, get off in Greenville. Just follow the road into the center. Go to downtown. Go to the square. Find Mario's Pizza. Have yourself some.
No, this is cliched. Best food I've ever had, just like dining out, has been in New York and Vegas.
Best food I've had has probably been in San Francisco, in the San Francisco Bay Area. You want to talk about like fine dining? Yeah. I have not really had fine dining in Las Vegas. I've had good dining, but I've never gone to the right places. I know they exist. I haven't gone there.
It's always going with other because I obviously have no idea where to go. Let's go to Chili's.
Barcelona. Woo, good food in Barcelona. All right. Tim says, on the topic of humans in Doctor Who, one of the reasons they seem to meet humans everywhere is because they are humans. In the future, humans have spread across the universe.
So the Daleks are technically humans then?
The people on the Titan, some of the Daleks were humans. Remember in that, do you know the series Evolution of the Daleks where Davros returns and he's just a head and he's creating humans, Daleks based on humans?
But my thing is, like, weren't the original Daleks already, like, bipedal?
Yeah, they were bipedal.
That's what I'm saying. So if that's the case, that means...
The people of Skaro were bipedal. I don't know if they're actually humans or not.
See, that's my point, though, is, like, are they still human or... that's a lot of gray.
Let's see. We're getting close to cutting out here. You want to take Tech Priest or Desmond?
Which is the shorter question?
Desmond.
Okay.
Sorry, Tech Priest. See? He doesn't like your lengthy thoughts. He has no appreciation.
Well, you just
for
say we're
mind.
Running short on time.
Desmond says, regarding the pricing in Canada versus U.S. discrepancy, a.k.a. price gouging, it has always been a big issue, but it really drove home for a lot of people when the Canadian dollar hit parity. The party line from the industry for the price difference has always been smaller markets compared with the U.S., or that it's the Canadian taxes that caused the price hike. I say that's a bunch of BS, because how can they justify that whenever I order books from Amazon.com with the cost of shipping added, still 20% cheaper than Amazon.ca with free shipping? The other day I went to Target in Bellingham, Washington, and toiletries are greater than 30% cheaper than the Canadian equivalent, and the only difference I found was that the U.S. version has no French writing. Well, makes a difference. Whatever the real reason is, I work 20 minutes away from the U.S. border, and it's 30 cents a liter difference in gas prices. Guess you know where I do my filling up.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is a different market, but you would think Vancouver and Seattle are not that far away. It's like not like the price differences between Sacramento and San Francisco are that big.
No.
It's not like people are driving up to Sacramento to buy toiletries.
Well, the thing
cheaper
is, I understand the market, but essentially they sell the same products. If you said the difference between, say, like Mexico and the U.S., I would understand because...
Or even Illinois and California.
Yeah.
Because they're far enough apart with different delivery items, different demands.
Well, different demands. I mean, like, for example, Hawaii obviously incurs a higher surcharge because you have to ship it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that, you know, things like automobiles, finished manufactured durable goods, all have to be imported.
Tech Priest does say that security theater is an interesting topic. Depending on a sort of method, it can be used as a bluff to keep people calm. For example, as is enshrined in law, all British schools must hold regular fire drills, but the students should be unaware as to when the fire drill will take place. Eventually, the it's a drill mindset kicks in. So, for example, occurred recently when the fire alarm is set off for real, people act like it's a drill and are calm.
You mean they have been trained Yeah.
They've been conditioned, I would say.
That's what people say when, you know, I've been, especially in combat, you fall back on your training. It's because that's what they want you to do. They don't want you to just automatically default to your panic mode. They want you to default to their what they consider to be the optimal course of action.
And I felt like we had to read Tech Priest's comment because he also stuck up for us and said, we do not have the worst audio quality on the internet.
Who does that award go to?
I don't know if he names names. Takes a lot of time and a fair amount of money and a lot of driver monkeying to get it right. He doesn't name names.
Oh, interesting.
So there you go.
All right, cool.
All right, thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.